Today's daf is Beya Dav Zayin, and we are 16 lines from the bottom of Dav Vav Amid Beis, Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refua Shalema for Shlomo Ben Zara Aliza, of Vadya Ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba Ben Devora, Devora Bas Mecha, Shmu Ben Tehila, Chaya Moshe Ben Frumit, Chaya Moshe Ben Esther, and Tamar Bas Chasida Frumo Rivka. So we're continuing to discuss the very first sugya, the very first line of Masechtas Beya, the halachos of a Beya shenol de beyantif. Beishamai oimrim teyachel, ubeishilol oimrim loy teyachel. So today's daf is going to continue to discuss a Beya shenol de beyantif. Additionally, the Gemara is going to digress a little bit and talk about different halachos related to an egg, related to a beya. So the daf begins with a statement, a very cryptic statement that Rav Huna said in the name of his great Rebbe Rav. Omer Rav Huna, Omer Rav. Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, beya, an egg, im yitziyasa nigmaro. When it leaves the body of the hen, that's when it becomes complete. Rashi says, it's implied from what Rav said, that until the beya leaves the hen, it's not complete. So Rav Huna said that I heard from my Rebbe Rav something very important. You want to know when an egg's development is completed? Im yitziyasa nigmaro. When it leaves the hen, that's when it's complete. But until it naturally leaves the body of the hen, until it's noilad, quote unquote, at that point, it's not going to be nigmar. Now, obviously, if Rav said this, he was trying to say some chiddush lahalacha. He wasn't giving a science class. He was trying to say something that had some halachic ramifications. However, Rav Huna never said in the name of Rav what the halachic nafkamina is, whether we look at the egg as being nigmara or not nigmara. So the Gemara now, for the first part of the daf, is going to go through an exercise and it's going to try to figure out what the practical nafkamina lahalacha is from this statement that Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, that a beya, as long as it's inside the hen, is not considered nigmara. However, im yitzi also, but when it leaves, that's when it's nigmar. So the Gemara says, "My mitziyasa nigmar." What is the nafkamina la'loch? Ilem, it doesn't mean mitziyasa nigmar. Umiteres la'och la'becholov. As long as an egg is inside the hen, so it's connected to the hen by tissue. It's part of the hen. As a result, the hen itself is an oif. It's meat. As a result, you're not allowed to eat it together with chalav. Now, midday raisa, you're only not allowed to eat basar behema together with chalav. However, midday rabbani, you're also not allowed to eat basar oif together with chalav. Once the egg is laid, it leaves the body of the hen. At that point, it's an egg. An hen is parv. You're allowed to eat eggs together with dairy. You're allowed to eat it together with fleishiks. So the Gemara says maybe what Rav was saying was that you want to know when an egg is complete, when it's no longer considered part of the tarnagoilas, when you look at it as an entity unto itself, when it's not fleishiks, when it's parv, im yitziyasa nigmara. Maybe that's what he meant to say, but the Gemara says it can't be. Why? Because that would imply that while it's inside the mother, while it's connected to the hen, even if it's technically complete, but if it's still attached to the mother at that point, it would be viewed as being fleishiks and you wouldn't be able to eat it together with chalav. Is that true? If somebody shechts a hen umatzah ba'beitzim gemurois and he found inside that there were eggs that were complete, mutaris la'ichlam chalav, da'alach is, you're allowed to eat it together with chalav. As long as it's fully developed, you're allowed to eat it together with chalav. So there's no halacha that says that you need it to actually leave the body of the hen in order for you to be able to eat it with chalav. Elo, so the Gemara says, maybe what Rav meant to say when he said beya im yitziyasa nigmara was ella im yitziyasa nigmara umuteres la oichla beyantif. What he was saying was a beya shenol de beyantif. Beis Hillel says loy teyachel. Beis Shammai says teyachel, but we paskin like Beis Hillel. So for all practical purposes, a beya shenol de beyantif, the halacha is you're not allowed to eat. So if you want to eat a beya, what do you have to make sure that it was noilad before yantif? So maybe that's what Rav was saying. You want to know when a egg is considered to be noilad? Im yitziyasa nigmara. So if it was yitziyasa before yantif, then it's not a beya shenol de beyantif. Then you'll be able to eat it beyantif. Habi me'ima asura la'ichla beyantif. But if it never left the hen before yantif, then the halacha would be that you would not be able to eat it on yantif. It's mashma. Even if you would shech the tarnagailas and you would find the egg inside, but being that it was never Yitziyasa, it was never Nigmara, and as a result, it would be like a Beish and all the Beyantiv, and that Lach is you wouldn't be able to eat it. But the Gemara says, is that true? But Tanya, we're going to the Raisa. Hashoich, this is a Tarnagel, somebody shachs a Tarnagel, some other Beitzim Gemurais, and he found inside that there were Beitzim Gemurais. Again, they never left the hen, but they were fully developed. Mutarais la'ichlam Beyantiv, that Lach is that you're allowed to eat them Ayantiv. This is a Chiddush. Even though Beisil says Beish and all the Beyantiv loyteyachel, however, if you shach the Tarnagel and you find the Beitzim Gemurais inside, then the halach is you're allowed to eat it on yantif. So again, what do you see? That you don't need the yitziyasa before yantif in order for it to be mutar v'achila on yantif. Even if you shecht it and you pull it out on yantif, you'll be able to eat it on yantif. As long as it's not nulled to be yantif, the halach is it's going to be mutar. So it can't be that's what Rav meant, because if that's what Rav meant, it's kenegad b'raisa. So the Gemara says something interesting. Maybe Rav knew the b'raisa, but he held the b'raisa wasn't true. He held the b'raisa was shleia libe the hilchas. So why? Because the b'raisa's halacha was never mentioned in the Mishnah. And because the b'raisa halacha was never mentioned in the Mishnah, it's mashma that the Mishnah didn't hold the b'raisa. And if the Mishnah didn't hold the b'raisa, you have a machloikus between a b'raisa and a Mishnah, you're going to be paskin like the Mishnah, you're not going to paskin like the b'raisa. Now what's the Mishnah that didn't mention the halacha of the b'raisa? Because the Mishnah talked about a beish and all the b'yantim, and it didn't say anything about if someone shechs a tarnagoilus and he finds beits and gemurais, that the halacha is mutaris loichlan. So maybe Enochinami Rav is not like the b'raisa. But at the same time, Rav knew he wasn't like the b'raisa because he held he was like the Mishnah. The Mishnah never said anything. Exactly. And the fact that the Mishnah didn't say anything, that's right. The Mishnah didn't hold like the Braisa. But the Gemara says, I don't think that's true. Hanami Tonina. Even though the Mishnah never said Mefurish anything about Shechting a Tarnagel Sanyantiv and finding Beitz and Gemurais and saying that it's giving Mutal Achilo, but Luchura, it is implied from the Mishnah. Why? Because the Mishnah said Beish and all the Beyantiv. Bisham Yomim Teyachel, Ubeisil Lemim Loy Teyachel. Fa'at Kanli Pligi Bisham Bisil. What was the Machlegs Bisham Bisil El Benolda? Only if it was born. Aval B'me'im. And it sounds like that if you shechted it and you pulled the it's mashma over there that everyone is going to hold its mutter. So it's not true that the Mishnah is not like the Brice. If anything, to the contrary, the Mishnah is like the Brice, says the Gemara. Maybe really the Mishnah is not like the Brice. We have a pretty nice diak. What's the diak? It's mashma. The only time Basil says that a beya on yantiv is a problem if it was nulled on yantiv. But if you pulled it out on yantiv, then its mashma would be mutter. The Gemara says no. Maybe Beisul holds that even if you shechted it and you pulled it out of me'iman, the halach is it's going to be aser. Then why did Beisul only say beya shenolda beyantiv lo teyachal? They should have said even a bigger chiddush. Even if you shechted the tarnagoyles and you found the beits and gemuras inside, even then the halach is you're not allowed to eat it. Says the Gemara, they could have said that. They would have, and they should have. But koyach that teira adif, like the Gemara said on the beis on the beis, and to teach me the chiddush in beis amai, da filu noil donami sharu, that even if it's noilad, even then it's mutter. So the Gemara says, maybe really the Mishnah and the Braisa are at odds with each other, and because the Mishnah and the Braisa are at odds with each other, therefore Rav knew that his halacha was not like the Braisa, but at the same time he felt that it was consistent with the Mishnah. But the Gemara says it can't be, because Elohad Tanya, at the end of the day we have a Braisa. Which Braisa? The Braisa we just mentioned. The Gemara repeats it. Hashoichet is a Tarna Goylus umatzah babetz and gemuras mutaros leichlam yantiv. Mani, who is the Tarna of the Braisa? Loi beishamai v'loi beisil. It can't be beishamai, it can't be beisil. Why? It can't be beishamai, because beishamai holds even a beish and nol the beyantiv is mutter. And if you're going to tell me that beisil holds that even when you shechted it, daloch, and you found the eggs inside, daloch is you're not allowed to eat it, so it comes out it's not beisil either. So who is it? It has to be somebody, must be that it's really Beis Hillel. And even though Beis Hillel holds that a Be'er Shenol de Beyantif Loi Teyachel, but Hashleichet Es Atarnegoylus Umatzaba Beitzim Gemurois, then Mutaris Loichlam Beyantif. And if that's the case, it can't be that when Rav said, Beitza Im Yitziyasa Nigmara, that what that means is that in order to eat a Beitza on Yantif, you need that it was born before Yantif, because if you shechted the Tarnagoilus and you pulled that a Beitza Gemura on Yantif, then the halachas, you won't be able to eat it, because that is not true. It's Keneged HaBraisa. Maybe there's even a Dik in the Mishnah, maybe not, but for sure it's Keneged HaBraisa. So it can't be that's what Rav meant, because if Rav meant that he's going Keneged HaBraisa, and even though Rav, we know, has the credentials to argue with HaBraisa, but it's always a B'dieved, so why would you assume that Rav got up in Beis Medrash and he said something that was Keneged HaBraisa, Keneged, that's something that seems to be Meduyik in the Mishnah. So again, what did Rav mean when he said, Beitza im Yitziyasa Nigmara? So the Gemara says, Elo im Yitziyasa Nigmara, what he meant to say was, Umigadeles Efroichim. The only time an hen's egg can fertilize and can develop into another chicken is if the egg left the body of the hen. However, b'nei ima, if someone checks the tarnagoilas, umatzaba beitzim gemurois, and you pull it out, that egg you'll be able to eat. But that egg will never fertilize. And enemy gadalus at freichen, it's never going to fertilize. And that's what Rav meant to say. Rav said, beitza im yitziyasa nikmara, he was talking about a fertilized egg. An egg that has the ability, has the potential to develop into another chicken. That is im yitziyasa. If it was born in the traditional way, it left the body of the tarnagoilus, that's possible. However, if you pulled it out, you shechted the tarnagoilus, for example, and then you ripped out the egg, that egg you'll be able to eat. That's true. You could even eat it on yontif. But in terms of it fertilizing that, the Gemara says, the line of Kamina, why does that matter? Again, that sounds like a science class. So why is that important? The Gemara says, Lameka Chamekar actually makes enough Kamina. If someone in a business transaction, he tells someone that I'm going to sell you eggs, and he makes him clear, he stipulates, I'm going to sell you fertilized eggs. So Rav said, you have to know a very important halacha, that if the egg came out of a live hen, then it's an egg that can potentially be fertilized. If, however, the egg was an egg that came out of a shchuta, you shechted and then it came out, then it won't fertilize. And the Gemara, in fact, brings a story to support this guy. There was a person that went to someone and he said, Beyad defach yilaman. So this person walked into the shuk and he was looking to buy eggs that came from a pachya. So Rashi says, what's a pachya? So this is referring to an animal that makes a gerida while it has a child. So he wanted to buy an egg that came from a live hen. The hen was alive when the hen came out. As opposed to what? As opposed to you shechted the tarnagoilus and you pulled the egg out. Either way, yavalei beyad shchuta. So some guy came over there, he says, I have the perfect egg for you. And this guy was a total ganav, and he sends him, and he sells him beyad shchuta. He saw that something came from a shchuta. Also, coming to Rav Ami. So he went to Rav Ami, he took him to Din Torah, right? He brought him to court. So he said, this person didn't sell me what I wanted. Amal Hus, Rav Ami said, mekach toisu vahadar. Said, it's a mekach tois, you give him your egg back, you give him your money back, and we call it even. The Gemara says, pshita, this sounds like the most obvious court case ever. Like, we even need to talk about this in the Gemara. There must have been a lot of cases the Rav Ami dealt with that the Gemara didn't feel that it had any reason and any purpose, any tachlis to tell us about, because it's so obvious. I mean, it couldn't be more obvious, right? This person said, I want to buy an egg that came from an animal that was alive when the egg came out of the animal. He bought a shchuta, so that's not what he wanted. He was very clear. He seemed to have stipulated it. He was walking around screaming and saying that this is what he wanted. So l'chura, isn't it obvious? The Gemara says, it's not so obvious. You know why? Because Maldatame, I would have thought, Hayla chiluk abayilu. This person really was looking for eggs that he was going to eat. The reason he said he wants it to come from a live animal is mishum de tzrivam, because if it comes from an animal, while the animal's alive, it's going to be tzrivan. Rashi says the word tzrivan is miloshe mivushalois called tzarchan. It's going to be more developed. It's going to be a little bit more ripe. And therefore, you would have thought that the person got what he wanted, he just didn't get it in the quality that he wanted it. Therefore, you would have thought, so you would have thought you have to make up the difference. Meaning, let's say one egg is worth $1, the other one's worth $2. You gave him essentially what he was looking for. You gave him eggs that he can make exile with, but at the same time, not of the same quality of egg. Okay, so it's not a mekach toys on the level, give me the eggs back, I'll give you the money, so you'll have to make up the difference. Kamash Mulan, the Chiddush is that the way Rav Ami understood it was that if a person wants a Beit Pachya, he wants an egg that came out of a live animal, that means he's looking for an egg that can fertilize and an egg that can eventually be a chicken, not an egg that he's going to eat. And that needs to come from a Beit Pachya, and if that's the case, he posh didn't get what he wanted. He thought he was buying chit and he ended up getting siren. It's two different things. What do you mean? They're both eggs. I understand, but this is an egg that you eat. This is an egg that develops into a chicken. And it's for that reason he paskin that it was a mekach tois. But what do you see from here? You see from here that an egg that comes from a live hen is an egg that can fertilize. However, an egg that comes from a shchuta cannot fertilize. So that's why Rav had to get up and base medrash. He had to tell the oilam, it's nagei mekach chamemka. Rav Ami had a meferish court case about this. So Rav got up and he said, you want to know when an egg is considered nigmara in the sense that it can fertilize, im yitziyasa nigmara. This was the halacha that he was saying. Gemara says on this note, ahuda amalu, beit nedachru laman, beit nedachru laman. Somebody walked around and he said, I'm looking to buy an egg that came from a zachar. Meaning, what does it mean? It came from a zarch. It's a fertilized egg. There was a rooster involved. As a result, it's fertilized. And now this is an egg that can eventually turn into a chicken. He wanted to buy a fertilized egg. So the Gemara says, Yavule beyed the safne meyar. And they gave him beyed the safne meyar. This is a non-fertilized egg. An egg that didn't involve a rooster. And as well, it cannot fertilize. Also, come to Ravami. He came to Ravami. So he said, it's a mekach tois vahadar. And he said, you have to unwind this transaction. Gemara says, again, pshita, why are we talking about this? This is so obvious. The Gemara says, Mount the I would have thought, high lach, because you would have thought that even though the person said that he wants a fertilized egg, not necessarily because he wants a chicken. Maybe he wants an egg. I had to come at the doctor. So why do you say he wants a fertilized egg? Because they're a little more zaftik. So you would have thought you have to make up the difference. Again, obviously, he didn't get the same quality that he was looking for. So on some level, you're going to have to make him whole. But to say mekach tois that you unwind the whole thing, who said? Kamash malon, that's the chiddush. Either way, so the Gemara is saying now that what did Rav mean when he said beitza im yitziyasa nigmara? What he meant to say was a fertilized egg. You want to know when an egg is fertilized, it becomes, or it can only fertilize in the event that it came out of the hen naturally. If, however, you shechted the tarnagoyles and you pull it out, the halacha is it cannot fertilize. Says another pshat in terms of what Rav might have meant was mayim yitzias nigmara, im yitzias ruba nigmara. When an egg, roiv of it, comes out of the hen, even though it didn't come out 100%, the halacha is it's considered that it left the hen. Ukid Rav Yochanan, and really what Rav, if that's what he meant, is saying something that Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan said, Be'ya sheyotza ruba me'erev yantav. A be'ya, where roiv of the be'ya left the hen erev yantav. The chazr. And then it went back into the hen. I guess it's possible. Muteres lo'ichla be'yantav. The halach is, you're allowed to eat an ayantav. Why? Because once roiv of it goes out, ruba kekuloi, it's as if the be'ya was nulled already. Now, if it was yotza ruba erev yantav, and Rubai Kekuloi, so it comes out, this is a Be'er Shanol, the Be'er of Yantiv. So even though it went back in, when it came out the second time, it's just post-laid there already. The laid that happened yesterday. So we don't look at it as a Be'er Shanol, the Be'er Yantiv, and it's for that reason it's going to be Mutta. So what did Rav mean when he said, Beitza im Yitzniyasa Nigmara, that when Rav of it goes out, it's already considered Nigmar. So if Rav went out, Erev Yantiv, even if it ended up going back in, and then it came out on Yantiv, it's not a Be'er Shanol, the Be'er Yantiv. The Ikadami says it just the opposite. Mayim Yitzniyasa Nigmara, im Yitzniyas Kula Nigmara. Yitzniyasa means the whole thing has to come out. Im Yitzniyas Kula in, Aval Rubalai, but if only Rav came out, not Ulafu, came into Rabbi Yechon, not like Rabbi Yechon said that once Rav of it goes out, it's already considered a lay though. So no, just the opposite. You would need all of it to go out. So if Rav went out on Erev Yantiv, then it went back in, and then the rest of it came out on Yantiv, now halacha would be that it would not be considered a lay to Erev Yantiv. It would be a ne'abeya shenol da b'yantiv. So before we go vayta, just to quickly recap what we had. So the first part of today's daf discussed something that Rafuna Talmud Muvik of Rav said over in the name of his Rebbe. And that was beya im yitziyasa nigmara. A beya, when it leaves the hen, naturally, the hen is alive, gives birth to a hen, the halacha is, that's when it's nigmar. And the question is and was, what practical halacha and nafkamino was Rav saying when he said beya im yitziyasa nigmara? And what emerged from the Gemara was four possibilities. The first possibility was that maybe what Rav was saying was that when the beya leaves the hen, that's when it's no longer part of the flesh, part of the flesh, part of the meat of the tarnagoilas. It's no longer fleshix, to speak in mamalushin, now it becomes an egg, now it's barf. Meaning, if you would shech the tarnagoilus and you would pull the egg out, so because it never gave birth, so it'd be connected through tissue to the tarnagoilus, it would have a din of basar. If it had a din of basar, it would be fleshiks. When it comes out, that's when it would be considered barf. The Gemara had a problem with that, but that was the first suggestion that the Gemara had. Another suggestion that the Gemara had was that maybe it's negeya, Beishanol de Beyantif. A Beishanol de Beyantif, you're not allowed to eat. So, presumably, in order to be able to eat an egg on Yantif, you would need that it should be Noilad before Yantif. What if you shechted the Beya on Yantif and now you pulled the Beya out? Would you be able to eat it or would you not be able to eat it? So, the Gemara suggested that maybe what Rav was saying was that if you want to eat an egg on Yantif, you need that it left the body of the hen before Yantiv, im yitziyasa nigmara. But there's no other scenario that you'd be able to eat it on Yantiv. Why? Because once Yantiv comes, if
it's Nelda, we passing like Beisola, Loite Yachel, and even if you shech the Tarnagolos, and now you pull it out, that's also going to be a problem. The Gemara had issues with that. Then the Gemara said that maybe what Rav meant to say was, he was talking about a fertilized egg. Mitzia says the only way an egg can ultimately fertilize is if Mitziyasa Nigmarab. If you shech the Tarnagolos, however you pull the egg out, that can never fertilize. Nice. What does it have to do with anything? Mechachememka, Rav Ami dealt with court cases in his great Bezdin, where he was dealing with situations like this. And finally, the Gemara said that maybe what Rav meant to say was that you want it. What happens if a Tarnagoilis lays an egg, but only Roiv of the egg, and then the egg goes right back in? This happens Erev Yontif. And then on Yontif, it comes out completely. Is that a Be'ish and Alda B'yantif, or is it not a Be'ish and Alda B'yantif? Rabbi Yochanan had opined on this case. Rabbi Yochanan said, Be'ish and Yotze Ruba Me'erv Yantif, V'chazra Muteris Leichla B'yantif. Because once Roivavik goes out, it's considered a Leida, and as a result, it's no longer considered a Be'ish and Alda B'yantif. The Gemara said, maybe this is what Rav was addressing. And the Gemara, two Lashinas, which way Rav was going. Either Be'im Yitziyasa Nigmar or Ruba Kekulay, so once Roivavik goes out, it's considered a Leida, or maybe just the opposite. Im Yitziyasa, when it completely leaves Nigmar, but if only Roivavik left, then it wouldn't be Negrazok the Gemara, Meinyan, Leinyan, Ba'usayin, Gufa, Sheikh, this is a Tarnagel, somebody shakes a Tarnagel, some other Babetim Gumurois, and he found inside eggs that were whole. So the eggs are connected to the body of the Tarnagelis. Weren't born naturally, and as a result, they're still connected somehow. The Loch is Mutaris Loichlam Chalav. You're allowed to eat them together with Chalav. This is the Braisa that the Gemara quoted at the very beginning of the Daf. Now the Gemara quotes the second part of the brayso that it did not quote at the beginning of the daf. Rabbi Yaakov argued. He said, if they were attached to the hen with gidin through tissue, then the halach is you wouldn't be able to eat it. We look at it as basar and wouldn't be okay. So the Gemara says, man tana l'hadat tana rabban. Based on this machloekes Rabbi Yaakov de Chachamim, who is the tana of the following brayso? So just a tiny bit of background to the brayso that we're about to learn. The halach is if somebody eats the nevela of an oif tahar, so someone eats an oiftar, that's a kosher bird, that's a nevela, didn't have a proper shechita, so you're not allowed to eat. The halach is that to add insult to injury, if you eat it, you become tamei. But the nature of the tum is very, very unique. It's metama when you eat it, when it goes into the base habliya, and it's metama, the clothing that you're wearing. It's a very unique type of tumah. It's something that's discussed in detail in Masechet Zvachim and in Nida. It's a real kachim digger sugya. But there's a very unique status of tumah that comes from eating the nevela of an oiftar. Regardless, if someone eats the nevela of an oiftar, says the Braisa, min hashalol shal beitzim, if someone ate the shalol of the beitzim, so these were the eggs that were connected through this tissue to the yoif. So this is an avela, didn't have a shechita, and you open up the animal, you open up the oif, and inside it you find a bunch of eggs. These were eggs that never came out of the mother, but they're there, they're attached. Min ha'atzamis, if someone ate the bones, min ha'gidin, he ate the tissue, min ha'basr, he ate the flesh, shet nitlish, min ha'chai, tar, da'loch, if anyone ate any of these parts, he's going to be tar. Min ha'eshkol shel beitzim, if however the person ate the eshkol shel beitzim, those are the ovaries of the mother, min ha'kurkavon, he ate the heliga kurkavon, ubnei me'ayin, or he ate the intestines, or if he took the chelev and he liquefied it and he drank it, tamei, the halach is he's going to be tamei. So the point is that even though if someone eats from the nevela of an oiftar, he becomes tamei, a unique type of tamei, he's metamei, he's begadim, but at the same time, it depends which part of the oif he ate. Some parts, yeah, some parts not. So as the Gemara, man tana min ashol shal beitzim tar. The first part of the Braisa, the reisha of the Braisa, when it went through the list of things that if you eat it, you're going to be tar, said, if someone eats the shalol of the beitzim, you eat the cluster of eggs that are attached to the ovaries. It's attached to the mother. The halach is, you're going to be tar. Clearly implying that the shalol shel beitzim is not considered basar. Therefore, if you eat it, you don't become tamei. Who's the tana that holds that? Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, to like Rav Yaakov. It's not like Rav Yaakov. What did Rav Yaakov say? That when the eggs are attached to the mother, they're fleishiks. The ikar Rav Yaakov, because if it's like Rav Yaakov, amim hayim mu'uris begin din asuris, he said that it has a din of basar. If it has a din of basar, and therefore you're not allowed to eat it together with milk, it falls into the halachas of basar v'chalav, that it should have a din of basar, that if somebody eats din of vela, he should become tamei. Amar le'abaya,
Abaya said, told Rabbi Yosef, again, whenever there's Rabbi Yosef, there's Abaya. It's unbelievable. I mean, my, how do you know? Duma, I can't come Rabbi Yaakov, I don't know if it's a good surah. Maybe it's true. Rabbi Yaakov said that. But Rabbi Yaakov said that the eggs that are attached to the mother are considered basa. That's regarding Issa the Hatter. The laws of basa, v'cholav, loisa, vashel, gdiba, chalev, imoy. It's a meshtemol, it's a tzveitemol, it's a dritemol, three times in the Torah. As it relates to that halacha, there you have this in Aval Inyan Tumaloi. Maybe as it relates to Tumana. Again, it's two different parashas. The fundamental underlying it is the same. Do we look at it as being part of the meat? Do we not look at it being part of the meat? But one is a question of Asur or Mutter. The other one is a question of Tame and Tar. So the Gemara says, maybe Rabbi Yaakov only said it regarding Yisr. Maybe he never said it regarding Tum. The Gemara says, Tumanami, Nigzar. You'll tell me why. What's the difference? If we look at it as Basar for Issa v'Heter, why should it be different regarding Tum? The Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because Afushe Tumahu. By saying it's Tame, when really it's Tahar, the Gemara thinks, then really what you're doing is you're creating Tumah. It's not something that we do. Now, the Gemara is assuming that for sure this is a Din de Rabbanan. So for us to go ahead now and create a Tumah de Rabbanan, that's not something we do. So the Gemara says, even though at first glance it would seem that this Braisa, Shoel Shal Beitzim, not being Basar, is the Loiker Rabbi Yaakov. It's like the Chachamim that hold that the Shoel Shal Beitzim is Parv. But the Gemara says it's not muchach. Maybe even Rabbi Yaakov said it only regarding Issa v'Heter, regarding the laws of Basa v'Chalav. But regarding the laws of Tumah, maybe he never said it. The Gemara says, Ikad Amri, some had a different version of how the Gemara approached this Braisa in light of the Machloikis, Rabbi Yaakov, and the Chacham. And that was as follows. Man tana mina eshkol shal beisam tam. The Ha'ara was not on the Reish of the Braisa, but on the Sefer the Braisa. Sefer the Braisa said that if you have an eshkol shal beitzim, the halacha is tamif. So if somebody would eat the actual ovaries of the mother of this nevela of an oif tahar, it would be metame begadim abeis abli. Right? If someone ate the actual eshkel, it would be tamif. I'm Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef said, Rabbi Yaakov, you want to know who the tana of this brisa must be? It must be, it's Rabbi Yaakov. The Amar who said, Rabbi Yaakov is the one that said that if the eggs are attached to the mother, the halacha is it's going to be aser. Oh, that's Rabbi Yaakov. Because according to the Chachamim, the eggs are not considered part of the mother, they're not considered flesh eggs. You could eat it together with chalav. So luchura, why should it be tamei? Well, Abaye told Rabbi Yosef, in this version, it's easy. You're understanding that the eshkel means things that are attached to the ovaries. Dilma eshkel gufe. Maybe it means the actual ovaries. That no one ever did. Of course, that's part of the mother. That's part of the mother. So what's the question? So you're going to tell me, wait a minute, if it's the eshkel, the Bryce has to tell me the eshkel? Right, sounds like the Bryce is telling me chadushim. All the things that are not Tameh are Chedushim, obviously, and even the things that are Tameh, there must be some sort of Chedush. So the Gemara says, Abaya preempted, he says, Rabbi Yosef, I know you're going to tell me that. Why would the Braisa have to tell me that the Eshkol is Tameh? I'll tell you why. We did the Havia Korkavan of Nehemi Ayin. We mentioned the Hilga Korkavan. We mentioned the Nehemi Ayin. Tafak after Basin, and those are for sure Basar. So why did the Mishnah have to say, or the Braisa have to say, that if you eat it of a Nevela of Tar, you're going to be Tameh? It's because, given the Ikke Inchit Layach, because being that this is not so Oival the Soicher, not everybody likes eating it. So therefore you would have thought it's Tzurich Lashmina, and therefore we need to tell you that you should know that you'd be Tomei. Hachanami, the same is true at relating to the Eshkol, Kivadik Inchid Layachli, being that there are people that don't need it, it's Tzurich Lashmina. Says for that reason we needed this special Chiddush. The Gemara is going to continue now, and it's going to go Me'inyin Le'inyin Ba'oise'inyin Tanu Rabban. We learned in the Braisa. Kol Shetashmishay Bayoyim Noilad Bayoyim. Any animal who has tashmish exclusively during the day, it's going to give birth to its offspring exclusively during the day. Kol shetashmish b'alayla, if it has tashmish dafke at night, noilad b'alayla. Kol shetashmish b'im b'yom b'im b'alayla, noilad b'im b'yom b'im b'alayla. Kol shetashmish b'im noilad b'yom. What's an example of an animal that has tashmish dafke during the day? Zu tarnegoilus. That's a tarnegoilus. Kol shetashmish b'alayla, noilad b'alayla, zu atlef. That's a bat. Kol shetashmishay bein bayem ubein balayla, say Adam, that's a person, the chol d'domile, and everyone else. But the point is that as we, it relates to what we're about to learn, we're learning the sugyas of a tarnagoylus, of a beyesh and olda, kol shetashmishay biyoyim, noilda biyoyim, zu tarnagoylus, so that a tarnagoylus lays an egg only during the day. The tarnagoylus scientifically gets stimulated by light, and that's what causes it to lay an egg. Incidentally, a tarnagoilus usually lays one egg a day. It lays one egg a day, and it's during the day, it's not at night. Today, they trick the hens and they put them in
different environments with lights like this, they'll be a little bit more productive for commercial purposes. But the point is that tarnagoilus naturally will only lay an egg during the day. So a tarnagoilus is an animal that's tashmishay b'yayim, it's noilad b'yayim. One other just piece of metzias background is, what determines whether the egg that the tarnagoilus lays is going to fertilize or is not going to fertilize? So again, a hen, for the most part, will lay one egg a day. Naturally, it lays an egg a day. The light causes the stimulation, but the point is that it's going to lay an egg a day. So what determines whether this is going to be an egg that you'll eat or whether this is an egg that's going to hatch and eventually is going to develop into a little chick? So it depends on whether the tarnagoilus mated with a rooster. So if it mated prior to laying the egg, so then there's a possibility, there's a chance that it's going to fertilize and it's going to result in being a chick. If, however, it never mated, then naturally this is going to be the egg that you're going to end up eating. So with that little bit of a background, Zok the Gemara. Amar kol she tashmishay bayoyim, noilad bayoyim. Zu tarnagoyla, says the Gemara, the obvious question. L'may nafkamina, why does this matter? Again, we're learning the sugyas of Abaya, but again, we're learning it not from the scientific perspective, we're learning it from the halachic perspective. L'mdis yontif sheni shal goliyas muktza. So why does this matter? Where does this fall in to the scope of the halachas of a beish and all then? The Gemara says something super gishmak. The Gemara says, oh, there's a big nafkamina. Look at the Ramori braid Rav Kahana. Ramori, the son of Rav Kahana, explained. Don't Ramori braid Rav Kahana. He said, Allah alamaisa, bodak bikini shatanu gilamed of Erev Yontif. Somebody was preparing for Yontif. It's Erev Yontif. He's making sure the lights are on, they're off, right? Everything is the way it needs to be. And then he goes in, he looks at his chicken coop. And vele motzaba beitzna, and he didn't see any eggs. Lamacha. The next morning, Yontif, he wakes up, hishkim, he got up fatugs, u motzaba beitzna, and he found a beitzna. So is he allowed to eat the beitza, or is he not allowed to eat the beitza? He didn't see the tarnagoilus give birth to this egg, but then again, he didn't see it at Erev Yontif, so it sounds like it must have been born on Yontif. Now, if it was born on Yontif, it's a beish and all the Yontif, beisil loimrim, like teyachel. So that's the question. So said Ramari, the son of Rav Kahana, the halacha is muteres, he's allowed to eat it. You know why he's allowed to eat it? Because we just said that a tarnagoilus is tashmisha b'yayim, and as a result, noilda b'yayim, and therefore it must have been there. It must have been there during the day. It didn't happen at night. If it didn't happen at night, so you woke up early in the morning, so it couldn't have happened this morning, so that's how you know for sure that it must have been the Erev Yontif. But the Gemara says, what do you mean? He checked Erev Yontif. He couldn't find it. So the Gemara says, Emelei Badak Yafa, Yafa. He didn't check well enough. I feel the Badak Yafa. And the Gemara says that even if he was Badak Yafa, Eimar, very gishmak, bringing the whole daf together, maybe Yatsin Saruba, maybe it came out, the Chazra Havai, and then it went back in. But the point is, meaning it came out the second time at night, but that's not the Leda. See, the point is, you're right, when he came there, it wasn't there. He looked the Chayru Stach and he couldn't find it. So it must have been born at night. It couldn't have been born at night. Ramari Breder Fkana was so confident in what Chazal said, they said there's no way it happened at night. But what do you mean? It wasn't there during the day. So either Lord Badak Yafa Yafa. And if you're not comfortable with that, I could always throw Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe it came out already during the day, and then it went back in, and then it came out some Tzveitamol, and therefore it's going to be okay. But the Gemara says, Eini, is that true? For Omer Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul, Omer Rabbi. Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul was a Tan. So Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul said, not in the name of Rabbi, said in the name of Rabbi. Badak, Bekinesh HaTarn Regalos, Merav Yontif. Same exact case. Somebody went to his Kinesh HaTarn Regalos. He went to his chicken coop before Yontif. For like Matzah Babay, and he couldn't find an egg. The next morning, Hishkim, he woke up. And he found an egg. What's the halacha? Asura. Over here, he's not allowed to eat it. So it's a blatant head-on stira to what Ramari Breit Rav Kahana said. Ramari Breit Rav Kahana, who was an Amoira, he said the same exact case, but Akina, you couldn't find it. You came the next morning. Muteres. There's no way this happened that night. And Rav Yossi ben Shaul, in the name of Rebbe, he said just the opposite. He said the halacha is asura. So the Gemara says, you have to say, we're talking about two different types of eggs. Hasam b'desafna me'ara. It's talking about the egg that Rabbi Yosef ben Shaul said in the name of Rebbe, you have to be concerned, maybe came out at night. It's talking about where there was no rooster involved. So this was a non-fertilized egg. A non-fertilized egg, that can come out at night. The egg that Chazal said, Kol shetashmishe b'yoyim noilad b'yoyim, that's the fertilized egg. By the way, kol shetashmishe b'yoyim, we're talking about where there was tashmish, where there was a rooster involved. And as a result, that's something that can only happen during the day. So they're talking about two different types of eggs. But the Gemara asks the obvious question. If you're telling me that it's possible for a hen really to lay an egg at night, however, only if it's a non-fertilized egg, so let's go back to Ramori Breit Rav Kahana's case. Person comes in Erev Yontif, he checks everything, he doesn't see any egg. Comes in the next morning, He sees an egg. Ramari Breit Rav Kana says such a big chiddush. He said this egg was either there before Yontav, you just didn't see, or Rabbi Yochanan, which is a loy shchiach, like the Gemara is going to say later. It came out and then it went back in, right? He's starting to think the unthinkable. We're jumping through hoops to try to rationalize what might have happened over here. Say poshit. Maybe what happened was that this is a non-fertilized egg. You're telling me a non-fertilized egg, tarnagolas can lay a night. That's Rabbi Yosef ben Shaul's halach in the name of Rabbi. So then how did Rabbi Mori Breit Rav Kana have a gerech to say not that way? Ihachi freit the Gemara, the Rabbi Mori nami eme miyare safno. So the Gemara says, but the ikazach abada. No, because there was a rooster in the picture. And because there was a rooster, so therefore we assume that this egg came from the rooster. Says the Gemara, but even but the ikazach nami eme miyare safno. Just because there's a rooster, that means for sure the rooster's involved. Amar Ravina, yes. Gemiri, we have a tradition. If there's a rooster, then the rooster for sure had something to do with this. So what does it mean there's a rooster? There has to be a rooster literally next door. There's a rooster somewhere in the neighborhood. Like, what does it mean there's a rooster? Amar Rav Gamda, Shmei de Rav. Rav Gamda said in the name of Rav, as long as the rooster is close enough that the hen can hear the rooster. If the hen can hear the rooster, rooster makes a lot of noise, if the hen can hear the rooster, that would be close enough to say that this hen's not going to lay the egg before it mates with the rooster. Ovid Ramari, Uvda Ramari, once paskin the shayla, achitim bati. There was such a shayla. The olden days, people used to, Rabbanim were asked questions about these eggs, old Beish and all the Yontiv. Look in Chuvasvarim even. So Pesach Frank has a whole bunch of shaylas. Someone came to me on Yontiv, a Beish and all the Yontiv. These things really happen. So Ramari once had a shayla with such a story, and he found 60 houses away there was a rooster, and he said, that's close enough to say that there's a rooster in the picture. The Mar says, if, however, there's a river between the hen and the rooster, like Avra, then we don't assume that the rooster is going to be moise nefesh and is going to go across the Nar. If there's a bridge, Avra. What if there's the proverbial tightrope that the rooster would have to go? Like Avra. Have a Uvda. There was once a story for Avra and Meitzra, and the rooster once went across this Meitzra. Zok the Gemar. The Maya Kimta, but the Safna Meyar. So again, we're going back now to what Rabbi Yosi ben Shaul said in the name of Rav. He said, "Badak bikina shatarna goylus berav yontif, v'loy matzah babetza, ulamacha hishkim ha-matzah." And then in the next morning he woke up and he found it. What's the halacha? Asura. It's going to be asa. Why is it asa? Because there was no rooster. And because there was no rooster, so the egg maybe was laid at night. And as a result, it's a beish and all the biyantif. And if it's a beish and all the biyantif, the halacha is, it's going to be a problem. Says the Gemara, ma'ir yabadak. If that's the case, why did the case have to be where the person checked and he couldn't find it before Yontif? Kilei Badak Nami. Even if he never checked before Yontif, the halacha should be that it should be usur the next morning. If a hen lays an egg, albeit if it didn't mate with a rooster, even at night, so if you wake up Yontif morning and you see an egg, you shouldn't be able to eat the egg. Why? Because maybe it came from at night. Now, the Braisa gave us a case where we know for sure it came at night. He was Badak, and he didn't find, and now he wakes up in the morning, Hishkim, Fatogs, and he sees the eggs. Obviously, it happened at night. But it's Mashma. Had he not checked Erev Yontif, then it would have been Mutter. The Gemara's Kasha is, Kiloi Badak Nami. It should still be Aser. Now, Tosfos says right away, isn't this Tali in the Gemara that we learned on Daf Dalet, whether Sofik Beish and all the Beyantiv is Mutter, or Sofik Beish and all the Beyantiv is Aser? That's really what this is Tali in, because at the end of the day, it would be a Sofik. So I in Rashi and Tosfos, I in Berishoin. But that's the Gemara's Kasha. So the Gemara says, Kiloi Badak Emo Me Esmol Havoy. No, in the event it was Loi Badak, then we're going to assume that it came from yesterday. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, he Badak Nami. Even if you did check, maybe even if you did check, why don't we say that the egg really came out, roiv, and then it went back in, like Rabbi Yochanan said, and therefore it's not considered a beish and all the beyantim. Right? If it went out roiv, then it went back in, and then it came out again, it's not considered a beish and all the beyantim. So why don't we assume that that's what happened? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan leshchiach. If we have no choice, we'll say that. But over here, being that we're dealing with a hen laying an egg that's not fertilized, that could happen at night. So to go and throw Rabbi Yochanan, that's already milsad le'shchicha. And because it's a milsad le'shchicha, this is not something we're going to mention. So the Gemara just ends on a very different note. We mentioned something that Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul said in the name of Rebbe. That's not a tandem that you often find in Shas. So the Gemara mentions, V'amr Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul, Amr Rebbe said another thing. Hay tumah shchicha. If you have crushed garlic, sakanta legilo. If you leave it uncovered
overnight. We're concerned that maybe a nechashim and a krabim, maybe got a hold of it, the snakes deposited a little bit of poison inside. And as a result, this is something that you're not going to be able to eat. And believe it or not, this concludes the first sugya of Meseches Beya. And that is the sugya of Beya Shenolda B'yantif. So moving along in the Mishnah, it goes too fast. The Mishnah said, Beya Shenolda B'yantif, Beishamai Oimrim Teyachel, Ubeisilil Oimrim Loy Teyachel. The second halacha of the Mishnah was, Beishamai Oimrim Sa'ar B'kezayis, V'chomitz B'kichoy Seves, Ubeisilil Oimrim Zeves Zeb B'kezayis. So we're going from the laws of Beya Shenolda B'yantif to the laws of Chometz. What's the connection between these two halachas? Rashi said in the Mishnah, the Mishnah mentioned three halachas in Hilchas Yontif where Beishamai was Mekel, Beisil was Machmer. Ordinarily, Beishamai was Machmer and Beisil was Mekel. These are three halachas in Hilchas Yontif where Beishamai was Mekel and Beisil was Machmer. So again, Beishamai oimrim sa'or b'kezayis v'chometz b'kichay seves. Beisil oimrim zev v'zev b'kezayis. So what's sa'or and what's chometz? We know what chometz is. Chometz is chometz. What's sa'ar? Sa'ar, literally, in English, is leaven. It's a leavening agent. It's something that you would put into dough to cause the dough to rise, to make the dough chometz. For our purposes, what we need is that, number one, the sa'ar is what causes the chometz to come into existence. Number two, sa'ar is not roi l'achila. You're not going to sit down and say, what's for dinner tonight? You're going to have chicken with a little bit of sa'ar on the side, right? That's not something that you eat. So it has two unique qualities as it relates to the sugya that we're about to learn. Number one, it causes the chametz. And number two, it itself is not roi lachit. So what was Machlokes Beishamai and Beisil? Beishamai said that the shear of sa'ar is a kezayis. That's a very small shear. The shear chametz is a biggest shear. It's a kezayis, which implies that sa'ar is more chametz. Then chametz is. The fact that sa'ar has a smaller shear, that means you need less of it for it to be a problem. It implies for sure that it's more chametz. So the shear of sa'ar is a kezayis. The shear of chametz is a much bigger shear kezayis. Beisil said, zev is epic kezayis. The same shear. They're both a kezayis. Clearly, Beishamai is being makel over Beisil. Beisil has the smaller shear for sa'ar and for chametz, which means he's taking a strong position. Even chametz, kezayis, you're already doomed. As opposed to, according to Beishamai, sa'ar is big kezayis, but chametz is less chomer than sa'ar. And as a result, the halacha is, the chametz is going to have the biggest shear. It's going to be not big kezayis, but it's going to be big kezayis, the size of a date, says the Gemara. Beishamai, oimrim sa'ar, big kezayis, Beishamai. What's the Makar to Beishamai? Meaning, how did Beishamai know that there's a different shear for Sa'ar and a different shear for Chametz? So the Gemara says, because Beishamai held Im Kain, if it's really the same shear, Lichta Brachmana Chametz, V'loi Boi Sa'ar. The Torah should have talked about Chametz. Torah should never have had to talk about Sa'ar. No, I mean, I would make a Kalvah Chaymer. Uma Chametz, Enchim, Musa Kasha, because I is Mada Chametz, which is Chametz. But it can't make something else Chametz. Itnish shear is a Kazayas, Sa'ar, which is chametz, and it's chimutz kosh. It can make something else chametz, like koshke. Sa'ar, the kosh v'achman alam. So Beishamai was bothered. Why did Torah write sa'ar? Lo'im l'cha maspi to teach me, she'ure shalzeh, like she'ure shalzeh. The reason Torah mentioned sa'ar is not to tell me sa'ar is a problem. I know sa'ar is a problem. Once I know chametz is a problem, I know sa'ar is a problem. The reason that Torah mentioned sa'ar must be to teach me that sa'ar has a unique chiddush. It has a very chametz geshir, something I wouldn't have known from chametz, because chametz has a big geshir. So the reason the Torah singled out sa'ar is not to tell me the actual iser, but it must be to teach me that the shear is more chametzil. What about Beisil? Beisil holds that sa'ar and chametz have the same shear. So if they have the same shear, Beishamai is kasha. Why did the Torah even have to mention sa'ar? It's richi. Because Rachman Otzar had mentioned sa'ar. I mean, I would have thought bishum dechim mutzay kasha, because sa'ar can create chametz. Avol chametz dechim mutzay kasha. Chametz which can't create chametz, emelot. You would have thought it's richi. Therefore, the Torah had to mention chametz. Because Rachman Otzar chametz had only said chametz. I would have thought mishum deroy lachila. Chametz is roy lachila. So therefore, the Torah doesn't want you to eat chametz that is roy lachila. Avol sa'ar shein roy lachila. But sa'ar, which is really not roi lachila emaloi. So you would have thought maybe it's not included in the yisa tzricha. Therefore, the Torah had to mention both. So the bottom line is the makar tashita as Beishamai is, he was bothered why the Torah mentioned sar. Once I know chametz, I certainly know sar. Must be to teach me that there's a chiddush in sar, the shir is more chametz. Beisil, he wasn't impressed, because Beisil held there actually is a chiddush in chametz over sa'ar, and in sa'ar over chametz. And therefore, the Torah had mentioned chametz, Torah had mentioned sa'ar. So the Gemara says something very interesting. The Gemara says, Beishamai leslu de Rab Zeira. Beishamai doesn't hold a Rab Zeira. Now, Beishamai doesn't have to hold a Rab Zeira. Rab Zeira maybe would have to hold a Beishamai.
Maybe not, but Bishami certainly doesn't have to hold up like Reb Zeira. Now, what did Reb Zeira even say? Reb Zeira said, Pasach HaKasa B'Sar V'Sayim B'Chametz. The Torah began talking about Sar and it ended talking about Chametz. Now, what's this Pasach? There's so many Pesukim that talk about Chametz and Sar in the Torah. So the specific Pasach is the Lav of Bal Yimotze. Shivas Yomim Sa'ar Lo Yimotze B'Vatechem It's one continuum, it's one flow of the pasuk, and it starts off talking about sar. 7 days, bal yimatzei of sar. Why? Because if you eat sar and chametz. So Rabbi Zeira said, the Torah is talking about sar and chametz as if it's hach. To teach me that they're one and the same, that there's no difference between the two. So the Gemara says like this, Bishamai less to the Reb Zeira. Not because Bishamai has hold of Reb Zeira, Bishamai doesn't have to hold of Reb Zeira. But Reb Zeira is saying something so mustaber. He's saying, you see, the Torah is interchanging them. Sair and Chametz is literally the same thing. The beginning of the Pasuk is talking about Sair, the end of the Pasuk is talking about Chametz. Must be they're the same. According to Bishamai, they're not the same. According to Bishamai, they have different Shiurim. So the Gemara says, Bishamai less to, not Reb Zeira, he's Meshubit to Reb Zeira. Oh, but Reb Zeira is saying something so logical. How could you argue with Reb Zeira? Reb Zeira is proving from the Pasuk that it's literally the same thing. So the Gemara says, let's take a step back. And the truth is, so we have Machayz B'Shan Misal regarding the Shir of Sa'ar, the Shir of Chametz. What are we talking about? Are we discussing the Lav of Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh? Are we discussing the Isser of Achilas Chametz? We learned Masechtas Pesachim not that long ago. And we know that there are two distinct parashiyos in the Torah, Midai Raisa, that relate to Chametz. One is, you're not allowed to eat chametz. The other one is, you're not allowed to have chametz in your rishos. So the Gemara says, the machlekes b'sham b'sil, were they discussing the iser achila, or were they discussing the iser bal yirah bal yimatzeh? That's going to be the answer to b'shamai leslu de Reb Zeira. So the Gemara says like this, le'inyan achila kuli amalei pligi. You're right. That pasuk is talking about achila. It starts off talking about bal yimatzeh, but then it talks about achila. Ki kol oichel machmetzes v'nichus ha'nefeshim yisrael. And as it relates to achila, there was no machlokes. Everybody agrees the sheer chametz and the sheer sa'ar is the same exact sheer. Ki pligi, what was the machlokes liyim beer? The machlokes is regarding the lav of bal yirotzeh, bal yimatzeh. B'sham, I savri, b'sham, I holds le'alfina beer ma'achila. Two different things. And it's true as it relates to achila, sa'ar and chametz is the same sheer. What's the sheer? Kezayis. But as it relates to bal yirah, bal yimatzeh, sa'ar is Kizayis, but chametz is bekichay zeves. Samri b'sil holds yalfinam beer me'achila. We do learn beer from achila, and just like be'achila, it's the same shir. So two beers, the same shir. So you're right. Reb Zeira is right, and no one could argue Reb Zeira. What he's saying is so logical. Reb Zeira had a riot from a pasuk that sar and chametz is the same thing, but that was by achila. That's nothing to do with machlokes b'sham b'sil. Machlokes b'sham b'sil was by Rabbi Yemosa, and that's kufin machlokes. Do we learn by Rabbi Yemosa from achila? Do we not learn by Rabbi Yemosa from achila? Itmar nami Amr Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina machlokes l'inyan beer. Machlokes regarding beer. I will inyan achila as relates to achila. Divrei Hakol. It's a brisa also. This was the point of contention between Bisham and Misul. Bisham and Yemen saw because I was Chomes Chayseves. Bisham said the Shir of Sars because I shares Chomes Chayseves. Who Beisul and Zev because I is that both of them have the same Shir. And what's the Shir? The Shir is Kazai.